This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, January 19, 2014, the second Sunday in Ordinary Time, by Father Joe Roberts.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
On this second Sunday after Epiphany, otherwise known as the second Sunday of the year, we have completed the first cycle of the Church's year, the cycle of Christmas, and we are entering into what is called often Ordinary Time. During the Christmas season, we heard readings and prayers which taught us who Jesus Christ is. After all, this is the purpose of the Scriptures. The Gospels were written to explain who Jesus is, and all of the Hebrew Scriptures were written about him to foretell his coming. And now, in today's readings, we begin a long cycle explaining his ministry and his office and work in God's providential plan. All of these teachings, the prophecy of Isaiah that the prophet would prophesy that Israel would be the agent of universal salvation, and the reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John dealing with the baptism of Christ, all of these mysteries remind us that God's revelation, his self-revelation, is a rich tapestry of mysteries, a rich, as it were, tableau of the plan of God for us and for our salvation. Many years ago, when I was a freshman in college, I had a very good professor of philosophy whose name I cannot offhand remember, but he set us to reading a book by the German philosopher Ernst Cassirer, who was a noted professor of the philosophy of culture. And I still recall vividly how Cassirer describes Christianity, in which he had no faith. He describes Christianity as a series of beautiful tableaus. The creation with the angels and saints admiring and the morning stars singing for joy as the Lord created the universe out of nothing. And the plan of God that, choosing his holy people Israel, he was preparing the way for the Messiah. And finally, through the mighty acts of our redemption in the Paschal mystery, leading finally to the second coming of the Lord and the closing of the books, when heaven and earth will be rolled up like a scroll and all will be all in God. These are beautiful tableaus. Even though one has no faith in them, they, by their beauty, bring our minds to the beauty of him who is their source. But they don't guarantee faith. We need to remind ourselves constantly that, in spite of what the poet says, truth and beauty are not the same thing. I remember hearing a recording of Beethoven's symphonies under the direction of von Karajan, of the Berlin Philharmonic in the early 1940s. The music was beautiful, but if you listened closely, you could hear the Nazis cough. Beauty is not the same as holiness. and holiness is not the same as beauty. Christianity is an aesthetic experience, but it passes well beyond aestheticism. Aestheticism can be a trap. There are religious institutions where you can go on Sunday and see a liturgy that would make the angels weep for joy, where the lives of the ministers and the congregation are a scandal to the church. Beauty and holiness are not the same thing. We need to pass beyond beauty to see the author of beauty, lest we be distracted and stop with the created order. So all of these things are a preparation for the contact of the living God with our souls. This is what makes the beauty beautiful. And without our contact with the living God, all of our religious activity is worse than vanity. It's a stumbling block that keeps us from God and from his call. As often, St. Paul reminds us of the real world. In the second reading, a very short reading, but a very powerful one, he reminds us that God is calling us one by one and as a people. And if you'll pardon me, I'll indulge in a little bit of Greek. You know, of course, that in heaven everyone speaks Greek, so they can read the New Testament in the original. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. The Greek is much more direct. It begins, Paulos, Kletos Apostolos. Paul called an apostle. He's called by God, and his particular calling is an apostle, one sent. This word kletos, called, is almost a technical term in Greek. You could almost use it instead of the word Christian. And indeed, some Christians took this word as their name, one of them being one of the popes mentioned in the Mass. In a few minutes, you'll hear his name. We say Linus, Cletus, Clement, and so forth. So always remember that Pope Kletos was called. Sometimes he's called Anakletos. And then this word appears again in the next verse. Called to be saints. He's talking about the Christians at Corinth. The first thing that he says about them is that they are called kletoi hagioi. They are called by God, and their vocation is to be holy. And in talking to the Corinthians, he's talking to you and to me. Almighty God, from the foundation of the world, has purposed that his Son, Jesus Christ, call us out of darkness into light to be his holy people. We are called. Now, I preached this homily last night to another congregation, and I planted somebody in the congregation. And so, Father Doc,
yes.
You see, I called him, and what did he say? He answered. It's as simple as that. If God calls you, you have to answer. And if I may say so, all of you are answering by being here this morning. There are many other things you could do on a cold Sunday morning, but you're here because you have answered God's call. God called us out of darkness into light and washed us from our sins to make us his peculiar children, given over to good works and to taking on Christ as our model, our guide, and our Lord. He calls us when we're baptized. He calls us when we're confirmed. He calls us, somebody asked me, you Catholics don't have altar calls, do you? I said, of course we do. At every Mass there's an altar call. The Lord calls us and we come up to receive the Lord. This is our altar call. He has called us to receive his body and blood. He has called us to do his will in every moment of our lives, and by so doing to become saints. Now someone will say, Father, I'm not a saint. Well, look again. You can be a saint on your way to being a saint and still commit sins. Don't despair. Every saint was once a sinner. And you, my brothers and sisters, are on your way to heaven. The only thing that can keep you out is drawing back from God's mercy. God calls us constantly. God calls us every day. You may have someone that you find to be a particular trial. Your neighbor or somebody you work with, perhaps somebody in your family that just rubs you the wrong way. God is calling you through them to holiness. Make a special effort to be loving to them. They may spit in your face, but that's the experience of saints. God has called this congregation in a particular way. I was talking with a well-known member of this family, and I discovered that this congregation has existed for 35 years. 35 years ago, then Father Campese and Father Medeiros led out a group of people from the Church of the Good Shepherd in Maitland to be faithful to the traditions and the faith they had been raised in. And through all that time, you have remained faithful and grown in your understanding of Christ and his Church, and now you have come into full communion with the Catholic Church. This is an example of God's call. It hasn't been easy. There have been casualties, but you have remained faithful to God's call. This story is not finished. We have a long way to go to the end of our lives. We need to continue to answer God's call to fulfill God's will in the particular circumstances that we live in. The Holy Father has recently widened the remit of the ordinariate. It was up to this point welcoming as full-fledged members only those people who had been, in some sense, Anglican at some point in their careers. It is now broadened that any baptized Catholic who has not completed his sacraments may become a member of the ordinariate. And of course, we never throw anyone out. Everyone is welcome, and none will be turned away. There are many stages in our lives. We celebrate anniversaries, we celebrate landmarks in our lives, but we must never regard them as stopping points. God's call is not to the past. God's call is to the future. Our vocations are not dead ends. Our vocations are invitations to serve an ever-widening circle of the faithful. So I ask you in particular, during this week, this octave of Christian unity, which began yesterday, to pray every day, try to get to Mass every day, and pray for the corporate union of all Christians. this congregation is an example of that growth in unity, and it is your particular vocation to pray that many others will join you and come to the fullness of the Catholic faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.